We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Hey, Steve, how are you? Thanks for joining
us. Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Steve, you know, this has been a very feisty week for us. Like, we're having a lot of conversations about, you know, Baker Mayfield and, You know, as defense, as offense is getting more and more of an advantage over defense, I think there's some people in the league that think it's no longer good enough to have a good quarterback to win. You have to have a great quarterback, and that's the ongoing debate with Baker. You know, for you guys, he has not graded out well so far this season, and he didn't, you know, while he played, at least it seemed like he played a good game this past week, but he didn't come through on the final drive. How would you assess Baker's season so far through five games?
Yeah, I think it's been a little underwhelming, and I think the Minnesota game was the biggest part of that. I think he's played solid otherwise. So even if we just summed it up as solid, you know, for us, he's got four passing grades in the 70s, which is just that. It's solid. It's decent. It's good. And one below average game, the Minnesota game. And, you know, however much you want to chalk that up to the left shoulder and the whole deal, I mean, since that happened, he's got, you know, a couple solid games and one not so good. So I think this is the issue. In my head, I'm having the same battle that you guys are having, right? And I think you do a great quarterback. It's not that you need a great quarterback. It's just that that is an advantage. And a less than great quarterback, more than ever, you can create great offense around him. And I think the Browns have done that. So I think Baker's played fine. He's played well. And they've essentially created a very, very good offense around him with good personnel. Could still be better at the receiver position, I think, overall. But I think for every time you say something good about Baker, it's like, but there's also this. And I think that is the nature of, like, the upper middle tier quarterback that you're trying to figure out, is this guy the long-term answer?
Right. And it's a tricky – you know, it's like – you look at defenses around the league, and I don't know, maybe you'll disagree. I'm like, there's no great defense in the NFL. And I think part of that is, right, all the rule changes and maybe more and more talent, maybe more better athletes are continuing to go on offense, whatever it may be. And so if the defenses aren't great, like, you can't win with Trent Dilfer at quarterback anymore. And I'm not saying Baker Mayfield's Trent Dilfer. He's obviously a lot better than that. But it used, you know, it's just like as defenses kind of get weaker and less reliable, then there's more on the quarterback ultimately. Do you think it's just a in the moment thing? Do you think at some point we'll get back to seeing great defenses again, or you think those days are gone?
No, I think those days are gone. I mean, that doesn't mean you won't get a year where a team is really good and goes on a run. The stuff that we study, you know, we're just studying this continuously at PFF. It's just that offense is easier to predict. I mean, that's the bottom line on this whole thing. Can a defense go on a run and be good or whatever? Sure. But it's also often based off who you play, you know? So like the Bills defense, yeah, they had a good game against the Chiefs, but if you're assessing the Bills overall year where their defense statistically has been exceptional, you have to chalk it up to playing in a rainstorm against Davis Mills and playing Big Ben and playing Tua and Jacoby Brissett. I mean, who you play dictates defensive performance as much as your actual defense. So in other words, the offense is just the driver in the NFL, and great offenses will remain more consistent than great defenses. So, I think it's on teams to create at least a good enough defense, a defense that's capable. You just want to make life a little bit more difficult for offenses because, the rule changes, you know, fantasy football, whatever you want to chalk it up to, the NFL has made it a lot easier to play offense. So you just want to do what you can defensively to make it a little bit more difficult for them, But essentially, you have to create this great offense that can keep up with other great offenses around the NFL.
Speaking of offenses, the Browns' offense this week without Nick Chubb, I think it puts more on Baker Mayfield's plate, and obviously Kareem Hunt's going to have to carry the load big time as well. How big of a loss is this for the Browns in this game in particular?
Yeah, I think it's a big one. As much as I talk about it being a passing league and the whole thing, we saw last week, Dave, the Browns should have won, and you'd come out of that. They were so good offensively. And you would come out of that game saying, like, there's one of the games this year where this offense, where this rushing attack just took over and decided to win the game for them. Not that, you know, Baker had his passing yards too, but there are games where the Browns with Chubb and with Hunt and with a good offensive line where they can just create such an advantage in the run game. And when you're running, whatever it was, 7 yards a pop or whatever it was, I mean, that is a massive advantage, and you have a few games a year where you can dominate on the ground, and you probably lose that ability this week. You know, there's a little bit more pressure on Kareem Hunt and more pressure on Baker, as you said. He's got to make more throws, you know, outside of the nest, of the truck tree, of the play action tree, you know what I mean? And that's the other part of the Baker discussion here. It's like, okay, within the game flow and all that stuff, he's been great. But the last few opportunities where it's like, all right, it's on you. Run this 2-minute drill. Go win a game for us. Did you have faith in Baker versus a Justin Herbert? Probably not, watching that game last week. And again, that poses that question about Baker going forward.
We're talking with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, I saw a column come out from PFF yesterday of, you know, ranking the offensive lines, and even though Jedrick Wills has struggled and been injured at left tackle and Wyatt Teller hasn't been quite as good at right guard, they were still number two on your list. Is that just because the other three guys have been so great? Or has Wyatt Teller and whoever's ended up playing left tackle been a little better than it seems?
My colleague Sam Monson did the rankings too. And a lot of it wasn't just like, here are the offensive lines through week five and just this 5-week performance. Last year's baked in a little bit. It's a bit of a projection going forward. But even just looking at this year, the Browns as a team have our number three run blocking unit overall, including the tight ends and fullbacks. And also they're number 10 in pass protection. So even with Will struggling and Teller taking a step back, overall the performance has been really good by the Browns. And again, there's a track record of success there that's kind of baked in when we're trying to project them going forward. So I still look at the offensive line as an advantage for the Browns and their offense, you know, pretty much on a weekly basis.
I know you don't do the spreads and stuff like that, but if you had to pick a favorite, would you have the Browns favorite in this game as they are in Vegas?
Yeah, I think it's close. I mean, it's easy to get caught up in record and say, well, 5-0 versus 3-2. But look how you could also say, look at how the Browns played against the Chiefs and look at how they played against the Chargers. And there are a couple fluky type of plays away from beating the Chiefs in week one and, you know, however you want to define last week's loss. So it's easy to get caught up in record and say, wow, how could the Browns be favored? But I think, you know, Vegas generally gives 3 points to the home team. So they're saying, yeah, the Cardinals and Browns are about even as a team. And, you know, the Browns get that home field advantage. And I think that's fair. You know, I think the Cardinals have overachieved a little bit in their secondary. I love what they're doing offensively. And again, we came into the year thinking the Browns had one of the deepest teams in the league. And I think they've shown that. They've won games and competed in games in different ways, with offense, with defense, with pass rush, with the run game, with the pass game. So I think it's pretty fair. A couple evenly matched teams in the Browns and the Cardinals this week.
Now, we're talking with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus. Steve, I wanted to hit on a couple of guys in the quarterback ratings right now. I give, you know, number six is Lamar Jackson. Obviously, you know, that comeback this past week, and he's on pace for 5,000 yards and 1,000 rushing yards. But another interesting guy who's getting a lot of hype and a lot of conversation about MVP, and yet you guys have him 17th, and that's Dak Prescott. If you give us some thoughts on both those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with Lamar. I mean, outside of a couple plays, including, you know, the fumble at the 1-yard line the other night, a couple fumbles week one against the Raiders on Monday Night Football, I mean, Lamar's been fantastic. And the Ravens are doing some smart things. He's throwing the ball down the field a ton. His average depth of target is 11, which is highest in the league. It's usually around 9 for Lamar. And I think they're just really tapping into or playing into, like, deep passing game, volatility. It wasn't what he did against the Colts last week, but Lamar is taking some chances, and they're just creating chunk plays, and he's always got that rushing ability on top of it. So he was excellent in that Colts game, just outstanding, and a different type of way to win with the Ravens, which bodes well for them going forward. With Dak, you know, I think, again, when we talk about the Baker discussion, right, it's like the other way to win in the NFL is to flood the field with a ton of playmakers. And that's what Dallas has done with Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. Those dudes are very tough to cover. Dalton Schultz at tight end has been one of the better receiving tight ends out of nowhere in the league this year, and their run game has gotten going. So I think Dallas is kind of a Dak's been good. He hasn't missed a ton of throws. He's got a few turnover-worthy throws he'd want back. So he's grading fine, but he's got some fumbles in there, too, that are bringing him down. He's throwing the ball extremely well, but I wouldn't say Dak's at that MVP level just yet. I think he's been partially a product of everything around him as well.
He won't play for the Cardinals on Sunday, but Zach Ertz gets traded to the Cardinals. What did you think of that trade this morning?
Yeah, I kind of like it for the Cardinals. I really thought, you know, in Kyler's development in year three, the place where he's been lacking is thrown over the middle of the field, the intermediate middle of the field particularly, that like 10 to 19-yard range. And he had started to do that. Max Williams is really an underrated tight end and was a little lost in Arizona because they love playing spread and, you know, not using the tight end a lot. But they were using him earlier this year. Then he gets injured. So it does seem like Arizona just wants to keep their foot on the pedal, right? They want to continue to put pressure on opposing defenses. And Zach Ertz helps that because Arizona, when you go out there trying to play, you know, cover them, it's DeAndre Hopkins, whatever's left of A.J. Green. But the speed of Christian Kirk, the speed and shiftiness of Rondale Moore, and then a middle-of-the-field tight end weapon in Zach Ertz to replace Max Williams. And, oh, by the way, Kyler's back there. Keep him in the pocket or he's going to make you pay. So, I think it's a smart move by Arizona to just, you know, keep pressure on opposing defenses, and that's a big part of why they're 5-0. Their offense is really, really involved this season.
Sticking with the tight end theme, David Njoku is your fourth-ranked tight end. He had a big game this past week, and, you know, he's always had some physical talents. You know, he's a gifted athlete. He's always had a bad problem with drops. He hasn't stayed healthy, but so far he's been excellent this year.
Yeah, he really has. I mean, you just – yeah, I know he had a 75-yard or whatever it is, so that's going to inflate your yards per reception number. But 18 yards per reception, a passer rating of 137 when targeting him, you start to see some of that ability. And plus, you know, he'll do it in line, he'll do it in the slot. So, yeah, it's really tough to predict, like, the tight end breakout. I just mentioned Dalton Schultz. Like, he kind of came out of nowhere. Njoku, I know you've been waiting for it for a while. It's tough to predict when a tight end might figure it out. But he's always had the physical tools, and the Browns are doing a good job getting him into space and letting him use those skills. So it's been good to see, and it's another, you know, weapon for that Cleveland offense.
Last thing, Steve, on the defensive side, there's a couple of guys we had high expectations for that have not graded out well. John Johnson, I believe, is the lowest graded player on the Browns that, you know, it's played significant snaps. 72nd, Ronnie Harrison, Grant Delpit, and John Johnson, which we thought would make up a good safety core and may eventually, are 63rd, 71st, and 72nd out of all safeties. That's not good. What? How surprised are you that that's been the case?
I'm a little surprised, but I'm also – let me go back to my first point. You know, defense is often dictated by offense, and I know I can never tell this to defensive players or anything like that, but, you know, if you play a good offense or you play an offense that is designed in today's offenses, do this, designed to make linebackers and safeties wrong. And if you run into those offenses, hey, Kansas City and, you know, Baltimore is really good at it, the Chargers are good at it, it's going to be tough. And, you know, that's been the story for John Johnson. He's given up big plays that he wasn't giving up with the Rams. Ronnie Harrison's been put in a bit of a challenging role, right? He plays in the box. He's kind of an extra linebacker, but he's also playing over the slot and he's playing safety. It's just a tough position. And if you run into good teams who know how to exploit safeties or take advantage of them or take advantage of the fact that they got to play the run, you got to play in coverage, you have to cover in man, you got to cover in zone, you got to do all these different things. Now, sometimes you run into a bad stretch. I think that's what the Browns have right now. And so they're all good players, but it's, you know, good offense beats good defense, you know, for the most part. Yep. And I think that's kind of been the story of what the Browns have run into so far.
Steve, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.